Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. 800-531-3815, toll-free coast to coast. Beverly Williams is our guest and our good friend and an original member of everything just about that we've got going on around here. She's been with us since just about the very beginning. She's the president and the founder of the American Association of Home-Based Businesses, and she's our good friend. Beverly, welcome back.
Well, thank you. I'm always pleased to be here.
Right there in God's country in Western Maryland.
That's right. As long as I can do the show on the phone from my home office, that's fine.
Well, I'm glad you're establishing a little slice of heaven there in Western Maryland. Beverly's moved to the mountains. She's become a hillbilly, and they're building a nice home up there in the mountains near the lake, and so that's a good thing.
One of the biggest challenges in the world for a home-based business person is to move, live in rental space, and build a house while you're running a business at the same time.
You know, exactly right. And you know why I know that?
Why?
I did that once.
Yes.
I did that once. And you know what? We had a baby in the middle of all that.
Oh, my. No, I'm not having any babies.
Yeah. But that was you're right about that. You know, I'd rather be boiled in oil as move. I hate to move.
Well, yes, this is the last move. This will be my ultimate home office, and you know I'm going to live out the rest of my life here, retire from my work here, whatever else happens.
You're never going to retire. I'm never going to let you retire, Beverly.
Well, I'm not sure.
I'm not retiring. I'm not retiring.
You're not?
No, I'm not. I'm
going to fade away.
I'm just going to wander off. That's right. I'm not going to retire. I'm going to keep working. As long as I'm working, you got to work.
Well, I'm not sure I'd know how to retire anyway. So,
how would you do that? To me, retiring is, and folks, we do have a point here somewhere in all this. But to me, retiring is, I mean, I'm not saying that it's a bad thing. I mean, if it's what you want to do, great. But to me, retiring is to say that you don't have anything left to do. You don't have anything left to offer the world. And I want to be contributing as long as I live.
Well, I think that's probably why I said I'm not sure I could retire, because I think I will always be a home business advocate. So as long as there's a need for information, for my passion for helping home-based business people, I could keep on doing what I'm doing for the rest of my life, however long that'll be.
See, I know people who are continuing to do this. Austin Kiplinger is the son of the founder of Kiplinger.
Right.
He was born the year that Kiplinger Letters started. He'll be 85 in August. I just happen to know what his birthday is, and he still goes to work every single day. Now he's not the main. His son Knight is running the company, but he's up there working and contributing and going to work every day. He's almost 85 years old. That's my hero.
Well, I was just sitting here realizing of four children, none of them have the passion for advocating for home-based businesses that I have, but three of the four all have had or do have a home-based business. So I assume maybe it's possible they'll follow my footsteps someday, but maybe there won't be as much of a need. That would be the ideal thing, if there wasn't as much of a need.
Well, I think that's going to happen, Beverly, thanks to your efforts. And others, I think that's going to happen. And what she's talking about, folks, is there may not be a need. For example, you know, but in hopefully before too long, being home based will be as natural as anything else in the marketplace.
That is happening, thankfully, but there's still zoning issues. There's still a need for good information for people who are trying to decide what kind of business they want, and they get pulled in by scam artists.
Beverly, that's never going to stop.
Yes, you're right.
No, you can always fight that all you want. That part of it's not going to stop. But I'll tell you what is going to stop, what I think will ultimately happen, and it won't be so much that zoning ordinances will be changed, although I think they will, but zoning meaning this kind of zoning that inappropriately prohibits people from having a home-based business. But I think communities, part of their statutes will an automatic part of their statute will become the one that talks about how you can be home-based. And I think that's important because you also know that for every city that has no statutes, no zoning laws, or bad zoning laws, there are people who are going to abuse the home-based environment, and they're going to do something that the neighbors aren't going to like. It's not going to be good for the neighbors.
Oh, you're right. I'm never going to be able to retire.
But that's the human. No, that's the human nature part of it.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as you got humans, you're going to have things that get messed up.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
You're right there.
Right.
Yes. So, absolutely right.
So anyway, I think your the advocacy that you had to fight for the last 10 or 15 years to just get some kind of respect and some kind of recognition for the concept of being home based is I think that's possible that you know in your lifetime that you could you won't have to fight for that anymore.
That would be nice. I do see a lot of change in that area. There's so much more respect, so much more acceptance of people who are home-based businesses. There's still the doubters, there's still the naysayers, and there's still, unfortunately, people who do take advantage of the zoning ordinances to their own benefit in a negative way. But it is changing, and that is the good news. Zoning ordinances are changing. People's attitudes are changing. In this time of the war, the uncertain economy, more and more people are still asking me, you know, how can I be a home-based business? So there will always be a need for people to have information, good information. And hopefully I can keep on providing that for a long time to come.
Well, I think so, too. And that's the thing is I think what will happen will be you will migrate your activity from the advocacy of fighting for home-based business owners to more to doing what you already do, but maybe you'll spend more time doing it, and that's just promoting it and helping people along, lifting them up a little bit. But the increase in service jobs in America and the decrease in manufacturing jobs, I believe, is one of the beneficiaries of all that. Is, and it's a negative for some people, but one of the beneficiaries of all that, I believe, is going to be home-based.
And
teleworkers.
Yes.
And teleworkers as well.
Yes.
Home offices, whether it's a business or whether you're an employee.
Mm-hmm.
Employee. Stand by, Beverly. We're going to take a quick break. It's 20 after. We'll be right back. There's more to come from our good friend, Beverly Williams.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting.
We're back. It's 23 after. We're sitting on the dock of the bay with our good friend Beverly Williams,
watching
president and founder of the American Association of Home-Based Businesses. That's AAHBB.org. And Beverly, if the audience would like to order your cassette of 21 Success Tips for Home-Based Businesses, how do they do that?
They can go to the website and click on the sidebar for benefits, and there's a place there where they can do that.
AAHBB.org, and it's, what is it, $14.95,
$15.95?
It's
$15. $15? Right.
$15, and does that include shipping?
It includes shipping and
the
handling.
The whole shooting match.
Yep, the whole shooting match.
A nice cassette of 21 success tips with the lilting voice and the incredible wisdom of Beverly Williams. So check that out when you get a chance, folks, AAHBB.org. Beverly, one of the things that I know we want to talk about today in the spirit of doing things to lift up and support home-based businesses is helping them understand how to separate not only the physical space of the home and the business, but also the business of the home and the business of the business.
Yes, and there's several reasons for that. We're talking about things like your checking account.
Commingling money.
That's the
biggest. Not commingling money is the idea.
Right, exactly. Unfortunately, too many people do that. The separating your mail, you know, do you want your mail delivered somewhere else, keeping your furniture, either personal furniture or office furniture, but not doubling as both, such as the dining room table. So many people have, I remember one woman a few years ago came to one of my seminars, and she asked me afterwards if I could spend just a minute helping her. She was really having a trouble with her husband not being supportive, and as we talked, she had a jewelry-making business that really was apparently doing fairly well. She was so busy, and she did all her work on the dining room table. It was the only place they had to eat. They didn't have any place in the kitchen. So she had been serving her husband dinner on TV trays in front of the TV every night.
He wanted his kitchen back, didn't he?
He wanted his dining room back. He wanted his house back. They ended up sitting down talking, and I got an email from her about a year later telling me that, thanking me for the advice. And that
he saved her marriage and her business.
Yeah. He had built her a little shed-type room.
That's what she was going for all along, Beverly.
Well, now, come on, Jim, don't start that. But, there's times when it's really important to have that kind of separation. I keep going back to that communicate with your family. You do need to check with the family once in a while and say, is this sort of taken over? Are there things I could change that would make this, better for all of us? My personal life and my business life are commingled, but we do need some separation. I do want to go back to the checking account because that is so important.
And folks, let me say this, Beverly, and I know you'll agree with me on this. When we talk about separating the business money and your family money, in the beginning, what Beverly's going to tell you is important for you to do, but we want you to know that we know that this is not easy.
No, absolutely. It's very, very difficult. All of this is difficult. None of it is easy. It's important, though, to spend the time thinking through all these things and figuring out what you're going to do before it begins to happen, if possible. Set up a separate checking account for your business. Go to several banks in the area and find out the one that has the most favorable policies for small businesses, especially startups, because you may not have a whole lot of funds in there to begin with. So
it's probably going to be an independent community bank where you're going to find the friendliest, or not, maybe I shouldn't say the friendliest, but the best terms of everything, loans and everything, is going to be from an independent community bank, probably.
That or a credit union.
Yeah, okay,
if you belong to one of those. Keeping it separate will help you understand that you're in business. It will help other people to know that you're in business because your checks will say your business name on it. It will help the IRS because you'll be able to keep separate records, separate monies from your business and personal.
Maybe you should say it will help you deal with the IRS.
Deal with you. Thank
they
you.
Don't
I knew as soon as I said
they
that.
They don't need any help, Beverly. Go ahead.
Now, they get misaligned so much. Anyway, if you have monies of your own that you can transfer into a business account, take some money from the savings, take something from the home equity loan, something to get you started until you start making some money from your business, which you can then pay back. Mm-hmm. One of the issues that I found in the very beginning was being taken seriously enough. And when I paid for things, supplies, when I went and tried to establish credit for my business, if I paid for things with a personal check, it made it a little hard for people to believe that I really was in business.
Well, you're asking for respect and credibility, and you're not offering them an opportunity to do that.
That's exactly
if you just give them a personal check.
Exactly right, yeah. And that respect mm-hmm. from others is important, and it's important for your own mm-hmm. self-esteem, for that business mm-hmm. hat that you're wearing. It will make you feel like you really are going into business when you have those checks that have your business name on them.
And keep the money separate. And when next time you come back, Beverly, we need to talk about this a little bit more. We'll also get into the post office issue, the mailing issue next time you're here, which will be in a couple of weeks.
Yes.
Thank you for your time today.
You are welcome.
Good job, and we'll see you later.
All right, I'll be
Beverly
here.
Williams, ladies and gentlemen, she is, it's official, she is the best. 29 after, I'll be right back with Sam Norwood. We're going to talk about the economy. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. The show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
We skip the line.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.